Good morning, people of God. I bring you greetings from our Bishop, Bishop Frank Beard, and from my own heart to your heart, it always does my spirit good to be with you. There's something about this congregation that when I'm around it, I feel like God's presence is closer than ever. Amen? Let me thank my brother and your pastor, Pastor Shane, has been friends with me now. Ever since he's been in ministry and ever since I've been in ministry, there's just a kinship that we've always had. And Forrest was there in the beginning when they came down to Washington Park. He, in those days, Shane could sing. He probably can't sing anymore. And Forrest and Shane sang a duet down there for us. And then and every year they would come down to our Martin Luther King rally and participate in it. So we've been in ministry a long time, and I just thank God for him and for you. Can you give your pastor a hand? Follow me now to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. There, these words have been printed for our living purposes. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of this present age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Underline the word stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, take the shield of faith. With you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplications. Pray with me. Spirit of living God, fall oh so fresh now on this preacher. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I know I don't have to point this out to you because it bombards our living room and our newspapers and our neighborhood every day. We're living in an age where the Church of Jesus Christ can no longer hide behind denominationalism and the majesty of our sanctuaries. Increasingly, God's people are looking to the church to help them make sense out of a strange and now very unfamiliar society that we live in. The church now must bless backpacks before children begin their school year. We bless those backpacks because those who are wearing them, we pray that God will send a spirit of protection around them that will keep them from all hurt, harm, danger, and deranged people. The Church of Jesus Christ is increasingly have to make sense out of people's loved ones who have been hurt or even killed in just for attending a movie theater or a concert. The Church of Jesus Christ must make disciples and introduce people to Jesus even while the church, both Catholic and Protestant, are waist deep in controversies. It's in this world that God calls us into service. The Marine Corps, my friends, I read the other day, are considering changing their 39-year-old recruiting slogan. You've heard it. The few, the proud, the Marines. But I'm just old enough, and I will always associate the Marines with the slogan, we're looking for a few good people with the medal to be Marines. It is not, my friends, that Marines are required, these recruits are required to already be Marines and already have the medal. But the recruits have to be willing to be shaped. They have to grow through what it takes in order for them to be the few and the proud, to be a Marine. One has to learn self-discipline, submission to authority, commitment, endurance, loyalty, and integrity. Each of those qualities, I would hope we could find in any Christian in this room, not just Marines. Sisters and brothers, I came here today to remind all of us, sometimes there are obstacles on this road of life that can leave us feeling very low. Sometimes we don't even know how to move forward. Sometimes there are turns in life we want to take, but the way gets so hard we can't even trace our steps or God's steps. Sometimes we wonder, how did we get in the situation that we're in? But I come to say, don't give up, don't give in until you see how God is ordering your steps in this present generation so you can walk into your season and be the person God is shaping you to be. I want you to know, my friends, God has began a great work in you. God has called you not only to Christ's church, but to God's kingdom, to God's place where God is shaping us to tell the world, come to Christ, because Christ has what you take, what you need in order for you to survive today. I come to remind us today that God is looking for a few good men and women with the faith to believe that God, who began a great work in you, is able to bring you to the place where God has already ordained you to be. The tragedy is that it does end up being just a few. Think about it. You will worship more than 2,000 this weekend, but there are millions more who don't know the saving grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that many would be called, but few would be chosen. So to encourage believers to remain faithful in their relationship to God in the face of whatever events they may encounter, God allows the evil one, the devil, the fires of our life to shape us into the metal that it takes to be used for service. God utilizes the trials and injustices and the circumstances that seem to be out of control in our world, in our lives, and in our community to shape our hearts and to shape our lives so that God can and will use us for God's service. God wants to do great things through us. But I came to tell you this. Whether or not God can use you depends on who you allow to shape your life. God is the only one that brought you to where you are today. And I came to tell you that God, who brought you thus far, didn't bring you here to leave you. You see, God fashions us in the fires of life. God shapes us into the masterpiece that he ordained us to be. God puts his personal signature on our lives so that we can be the service men and women that are called to live godly and to introduce people to Christ in the world today. Oh, I'm on biblical territory here. You remember David met God through God's provision in the wilderness, and that meeting forever changed David's life into a man that the Bible says is after God's own heart. You remember Joseph met God in the dreams of his youth, and when those dreams were finally fulfilled, a self-important young man was transformed into a humble leader of the most powerful kingdom on earth. We could say that God forged him in the fire and shaped by the master's hands. Life is full of trials and detours and circumstances that are really beyond our control. But the way we respond is our choice. When we learn to recognize God's hand in every event of our lives, we will forever be molded into a person who serves the Lord's purpose in our own generation. That is, we will be shaped by the Master's hand. I came to warn you, though. If you're going to allow God to shape you in the fire, you'd better be dressed for service. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Paul shows us the secret of the believer's stamina and strength. He shows us it's in what we put on. What Paul wants to impress upon us is the apparel we wear is important to how we serve the Lord and important to how we are used by God. Christians have to dress themselves for service. I'm not talking about the body, but the spiritual body. Children of God, we've got to dress up to be in service for the Lord. And I'm not talking about earthly going, oh, wait a minute, I'm not against dressing now. I am the author of sharp dressing. If God has blessed you to be able to buy it, you do it because God knows I left a whole lot of my earnings at the mall and little sweatshops along the way. But I came to tell you, those things may make you look good, but they don't have what it takes in order for you to be shaped into what God has called you to be. There is power in wearing the whole armor of God. The Bible says that there is power to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we as believers are in a wrestling match. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against rulers and dark places of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice that the Bible says that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. In other words, we are not wrestling with each other. Our fight is not with human beings. Our fight is not over me or you. Our fight is not over how you're dressed and how you're not dressed. Our fight is not even against human beings at all. Our fight is against an enemy that's trying to take us out. That's where the devil's tricks and traps many believers. You see, I've noticed he'll get folks in the church all mad and upset against one another and hold grudges against other Christians to the point where we won't even be able to be used. You know, it's hard for me to pray when I'm angry. You know, have you ever been angry at your wife or your children? It gets very hard for you to pray. You got to take a time out and say, Lord, calm my spirit. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the evil one is the enemy. And when folk come to me after a meeting, and believe me, in this job that I have, I can tell you about some meetings that I were in. I've been in some meetings where I wonder, are these Christians or not? And after a whole lot of meetings that I'm in, some people will come to me and say, how are you able to stand so cool and calm, given everything that he or she has said? And I say, you see, I recognize that it's not them that I'm fighting, but the one who's controlling them. I'm fighting not against flesh and blood, but the rulers and darkness of this world. You see, Satan's struggle is against God and God's church. It's not about me personally. That is, that God can tear my witness, if the evil one can tear my witness down, then God can't use me for service anymore. All of the devil's powers are focused on shattering the unity of the church. He's trying to cripple the body of Christ by causing dissension among believers. Evil is smart. It knows that if it can get folk fighting and upset, it'll render us ineffective and we'll stop introducing people to Jesus Christ, which is our chief message, because the world needs to know that God loves them so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but has eternal life. But the devil knows that if he can keep us in a wrestling match with each other, we won't have time neither the desire or the strength to introduce people to Jesus. He knows that the more he can keep us fighting, the less time we'll have to study God's word. He knows if he can ruin our prayer life, the more we'll stray away from where God wants us to be. If he can ruin the things we believe in God through denominationalism, through things that people say, he will be able to control how the world sees us and how effective we are in the world. I came to tell you, he's on his J-O-B. For it's the job of Satan to render invalid our witness and make the world, to make us unattractive to the world to come and be a part of God's great command to make folk turn away from Jesus. So you might ask, Sylvester, how can the body of Christ overcome the schemes of the devil and be effective in our testimony to the lost and to the perishing in this generation? I'm glad you asked. The answer, my friend, is not blowing in the wind, but the answer is found right here in the Bible. For the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, if we dress properly, we will be able to stand against the schemes of Satan. If we dress properly, we will be able to overcome the wicked and deceitful ways of the prince of darkness. Friends, we've got to dress for success and service. No ordinary garments will do. No cursory prayer life. No occasional reading of the Bible will do. We have to put on the whole armor of God. And if we have God's armor, we will be able to stand firm and expect victory, because we know with God on our side, there's no way we can lose. We'll be able to stand strong in the Lord and the power of the Lord's might. Paul says that the wiles of the devil are cunning. He has trickery and devices that are designed to hurt us and to take us out. The ruler to render our witness non-existent in this age. Friends, God is shaping us to be able to stand and witness to a dying generation, even though it seems like all hope is gone. Because God knows the devil uses all kind of trickery that's designed to take the church out. And in order for the devil to use things to take us out and destroy us, he's got to know me pretty well. Because he knows what I like. He knows what I don't like. He knows what will get under my skin. He knows what will bring me down. He knows those personal flaws that I have in my character. And once he knows, he'll custom fit a problem or a situation that he knows has the potential of destroying our witness of Christ. In defense of all this, notice now that the master does not tell the believer to fight. We have all of these weapons for us, but notice, they are not to fight. They are enable us to stand. The weapons have been given to us so that we can stand with the heavenly garments and stand firm when all around us are shaking loose, when all around us seem to be lost. God calls us to put on his garments and stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with the belt of truth. The Lord will fight our battles for us, because the battle is not ours, it's the Lord. God wants us to stand and recognize that he will do the fighting. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord there. It's a gift to know that whatever's happening, I don't have to do no fighting. God fights the battle. Stand. It's what God calls us to do. Thank you, Lord, that all I have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The garments that the Lord has prepared for us will protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. The breastplate of righteousness will protect the vital organs around our chest from the attack of the enemy. Our feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we will be able to stand firm on the sure footing, on the knowledge that God is on our side. But above all else, in addition to all of those things, he said, we have got to take the shield of faith. You see, with the shield of faith, we will be able to squelch all the fiery darts of the wicked one. With the shield of faith, we can stop missiles and put out fires. With the shield of faith, we have what it takes in order to go in a world and say, but there is God. The rest of the armor is important, but stay with me now. Paul says, above all else, we need the shield of faith. With the shield of faith, nothing will be able to deter us from spreading the news in the land that God is good. With the shield of faith, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Faith. With the shield of faith, we will go say to yonder mountain, go into the sea. Above all else, take the shield of faith. For without faith, everything that we do is null and void. And whatever is not of faith, it's not of God. After we have taken the shield of faith, God gives us two additional gifts. It's called the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want you to notice that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, is the only offensive weapon that you and I get to have. The rest of God's garment is for protection. But we all know that a sword is for fighting. The sword is an offensive weapon. The believer can comfort themselves and know that the truth of God's word will see us through. You see, when the devil says to you and me, the situation is hopeless, you have to come back with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and say, my hope is built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. When our heart is filled with fear, the sword of the word must get on offense and say, fear not, I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When the darkness seems to be drenched and draped all around our lives, the sword of the word will have to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When we feel like all is gone and we are all alone, the sword of the word says to us, we have a friend that sticks closer to us than any sister or brother. When we feel like giving up on life, the sword will tell us the race is not given to the swift, nor the fleet of foot, but to him that endures to the end. When the storms of this fiery age is raging, the sword will speak peace to the wind and say, peace, be still. When our testimonies seem to be waning and getting weak under the pressure of peers, the sword will say to you and I, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. Sometimes it seems as though our faith is getting weak and we just can't hold out any longer. That's when the sword of the word will say, greater is he that is in me than in he that is in the world. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. When we get spiritually dressed, our old failures and shortcomings are passed away, and he gives us something better. When we get dressed for service, God will take our despair and replace it with delight. When we get dressed for service, God will take our burdens and turn them into blessings. When we get dressed for service, God will take our weak places and turn them into strength. When we get dressed for service, God will take our obstacles and turn them into opportunities. I hear the word says, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest because my burdens are light. God, my sisters and brothers, designed our garments century ago. God paid the price that we may be dressed for service. Jesus paid for our battle garments over 2,000 years ago when they nailed him to an old rugged cross on a hill called Calvary. Jesus prayed for us even then. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He paid for our battle garments when he bowed his head and died. He died on Calvary, but early Sunday morning got up from the grave. He arose with all power in his hand. Power to make our lives brand new over and over and over. Power to make me into a servant of God. I know it's almost time for me to sit down. I'm watching that clock, but I got about three more things to say. God allows stuff to come into our lives and our living rooms to build our hope, to build our faith, so that we can be effective witnesses for the Lord. We have to remember that God is sovereign. That means all power. God's got all power, and God will allow us to go under the attack, but God will enable us to stand when all about us is breaking loose. God will allow his permissive will. God will allow our hearts to be broken even while we are standing. God will allow sorrow to enter our world even though we are standing. God will allow scandal while we are yet standing. God will allow trouble while we are yet standing. God will allow personal pitfalls but enable us to stand. Somebody here knows that standing is only possible by the grace of God. There's no way that I can get up in the morning and face another day if it wasn't from the sure knowledge that God walks with me every step of the way. If it wasn't for the sure knowledge that this is God's world and God never takes vacations, God never, never leaves us alone. God gives us the power to stand when it seems like we can't go any further. And standing suggests, my brothers and sisters, that we have made up our mind that come what may, we will serve the Lord. Standing suggests that I may take a hit, but I won't quit. I'm going to keep on serving till I can't serve no more. Standing suggests that though he slay me, yet will I trust him because I'm dressed for service. Ask me how I know. I read in the Bible how they took his sons and they put nails in his hands, but he kept on going. They strapped a cross one day on his back in the streets, but he kept on going. They pierced him in the side, but he kept on going. And they put him in an old borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, he woke up from the grave and kept on going. Children of God, I came to say, we are being dressed down here for service up there. Because this is not the end of our life. It's only the beginning. The longest part of our existence is to come. And once we have fought the good fight of faith, when we get near to the ends of life's journey, we can hear the sword of the Spirit saying, well done, good and faithful service. You've been dressed for service. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want you to know that God has us going somewhere, and I'm not worried about the state of the church in the 21st century. I'm not worried about the theology of the denomination. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out the vintage grapes where the grapes of wrath are born. He has loosed the faithful lightning, and his terrible sword is swift. I came to tell you, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory. His truth is marching on. And all you got to do is stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen.